My friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to read this morning for you from Luke chapter 2, the words that pertain to Simeon's approach to Mary and Joseph in the temple when they presented their son for consecration. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is God's word. Please be seated. With a Bible text like this one on the first Sunday after Christmas, it seems like there is a big question that is really begging to be asked and answered. After all of the candlelight and the joy and the Christmas carols and all of the happy sentiment of Christmas that went along with our Christmas celebrations, why in the world are we reading today about a guy who talks of death and about being ready to die? Here we are, we've gone from glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men, to now I'm ready to die, Lord. It's a big difference, isn't it, in our tone? Why? Well, you see, death is part of Christmas, isn't it? Has always been. You know, if you caught it this past week, Thursday, which was the fourth day of Christmas, the church observed as Holy Innocents Day, when we remember those little boys of Bethlehem under the age of 2 who were slaughtered by Herod in a vain attempt to kill Jesus. Death has always been part of Christmas, you see. And now here it is, the seventh day of Christmas. It's still Christmas, at least here at the church. And the gospel focuses our attention on the song of an old man who, upon holding the baby Jesus in his arms and seeing him with his own eyes, now proclaims that he is ready to die. So the specter of death is a loud, if dissonant, note in the Christmas gospels. Does that seem odd to you? Maybe we should step back just a bit. 40 days earlier, the whole host of angels sang the very first Christmas carol to the shepherds who were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. "Glory to God in the highest," they sang with impressive chorus. "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And now, in the Gospel of Luke, it's 40 days later. His parents are performing their duty as pious Jews by coming to the temple to offer a sacrifice to consecrate their firstborn son to the Lord. Joseph and Mary must have been in a joyful mood that day and full of reverence as they came into the temple, the way parents would be full of reverence when they present their first child for baptism. And it's not difficult for us to imagine their reaction when this old man comes forward out of the shadows to scoop their son up into his arms and to prophesy about him. And it must have startled Joseph and Mary, but they nevertheless yielded to Simeon, perhaps sensing that the Lord's Spirit was upon him. and the man sings the second oldest Christmas carol that we know as the Nunc Dimittis. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Joseph and Mary must have really puzzled over these words. Luke says they marveled at these words of the second oldest Christmas carol. Certainly, Mary and Joseph could not have known that the church their son would establish would still be singing this song thousands of years later as one of the most familiar and beautiful songs of the Christian liturgy. Or that this song would be sung especially by God's people after receiving the meal that their son would establish on the night before he was crucified. Or that these words would be read at the gravesides of people who had put their trust in their son. How strangely uncomfortable the words of this carol must have been for Joseph and Mary as they were still reveling in their role as new parents. Because let's not kid ourselves. Simeon is saying here that he is now ready to die, having held their son in his arms and having seen him with his own eyes. So here we are now, fresh off of the celebration of the birth of the Christ. And Simeon and St. Luke are compelling us to think about death. And perhaps our first reaction to that is to say, can't we just take a little break from that subject? And we're still having family celebrations. The tree and the lights are still up. Tonight is New Year's Eve, a night to party and to revel. Can't we think about some happier things than being ready to die? Can't we just leave death outside our doors just this once and deal with it later on? But you see, in the church, we don't deal in sentiment or in wishful thinking. We deal with realities. And the reality is that death never takes a holiday, does it? Death took no holiday when the good tidings were announced that Christ was born, and death still takes no holidays. And so last Thursday, the fourth day of Christmas, what was the big headline? At least a dozen people dead, including four children, in a massive New York City apartment fire. And then just a day later, on the fifth day of Christmas, death struck our own church family, if you haven't heard it yet, when Gary Nye was killed by carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all around the globe. The story is the same. Death never takes a holiday. And there is no sense in us denying it or trying to put it off for a little bit. Some of the people that we have known and loved and have now lost make Christmas especially difficult for us. We are reminded of them when we sing their favorite hymn, or when we hang a special ornament on the tree, or a fleeting but vivid memory of a past Christmas with them runs through our head. And Simeon's no different. He's an old man, we believe. He's been around the block a time or two. And we can imagine that he, too, has tasted love and loss, joy and despair, hope and fear, just like you and I have experienced them. And so he sings of death simply because he can't help it. Because he, like all of us, live with the reality of death every day. Death takes no holidays. But here, take note, because there is more to Simeon's second oldest Christmas carol than mere stark realism. St. Luke makes it clear that Simeon is able to speak of death so honestly and so forthrightly only in light of the promise of the Messiah. Only because the helpless child that he holds in his arms is destined to redeem Israel, to give light to the Gentiles, and to save all of this world. And Simeon points forward then to a time, to a day when a sword would pierce Mary's own soul in the way that death pierces all of our souls, on the day when her son would die as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. The Lord says, or Simeon then says, Lord, now you can let your servant go in peace. Why? Because your word has been fulfilled. In this child, God has kept his promise. In this baby, set for the rise and the falling of many, God has acted once and for all to address the question and the specter of death with the promise of life. You see, Simeon, in this second oldest Christmas carol, does not ask for death like a child might ask for a Christmas present. No, Simeon does not ask for death, but he does accept death with a courage and a confidence that is born of hope and of faith in this holy child. He can accept the reality of death only because he has seen the Savior with his own eyes and has held him in his own arms and has actually touched God's promise with his hands. And this then is also why we sing Simeon's second oldest Christmas carol after we have received Holy Communion. Because here at the table of the Lord, like Simeon, we not only hear, but we also see and touch and feel and even taste the promise of the Messiah. And after we receive this promise of Christ in the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, we too are propelled to confident and courageous living, even in a world that is so marked by death and loss. This also explains why, to this day, we still sing Simeon's song in our evening services, or read it at the graveside service. Because as the darkness of evening, or of death, overtakes us, we commend ourselves and all of our lives and all of our loved ones to the God whom we know through the manger and the cross to be gracious toward us. This God has promised life to all who believe in His Son, who are baptized into Him. Anchored by that promise, we can go to our night's rest, and we can even go to our grave, confident in God's love and redeeming grace, always ready to depart in peace. And so we continue singing Simeon's Christmas carol all these centuries later, because it tells of God's great love for us, of a love that even death cannot destroy, which is also why we sing this song even during our celebration of Christmas, so that by naming death and by naming death's conqueror, the specter of death may no longer terrify us or diminish us. We sing this second oldest Christmas carol because for those of us who are in Christ, it is not death that ruins Christmas. It is Christmas that ruins death. Emmanuel has come. God is with us. We too have seen and heard and felt and tasted the goodness of the Lord in the gift of His only Son. And suddenly, old Simeon's odd and courageous Christmas carol, the second oldest one, is also now our song. And we are ready to sing it with him. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, for Christ the Savior is born. A continuing Merry Christmas to all of you. Let's rise together as we sing Simeon's Song, the second oldest Christmas carol. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world